Readers Entertainment Radio, where variety is the spice of life.
Well, hello, and welcome to Readers Entertainment Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and with me tonight is the extremely talented new addition to our Readers Entertainment family, Lisa Wasson. Welcome, Lisa.
Thanks, Sheila. Excited to be here.
Now, Lisa, you write, you promote, you work with the RT convention. You're a real Renaissance woman. So I'm so excited that you're with us. Tell us just a little bit about yourself before we get going. And I promise all of our listeners, we really, truly do have Pat Simmons here. I promise that, and we're going to bring her on in just a moment. But I'm so excited to have Lisa here. And would like to have her tell a little bit more about herself. So, Lisa, why don't you let our listeners know a little bit about you?
Okay, well, first off, I'm a romance author, and I write contemporary fiction. I write for Harlequin Kamani line, and I'm working on the Match Broker series for that line. And I've got the book 2 in that series coming out next month. And I'm just really excited, and I wanted to say thank you again for the wonderful opportunity to have me co-host the show with you. And what made me pick our guest tonight was that I met her back in 2002 at the Romance Slam Jam. She was literally one of the first people that I met, and we hit it off, like, instantly. So she was also the one that gave me the opportunity to become a published author in the first place. So I thought it kind of fitting that my first show would be to have her as the guest, kind of have it come full circle.
I love that. And, you know, I I'm so glad that you're also an author. It's, you know, you have that unique perspective of, you know, of being a reader, because you're also a reader, but also knowing what it's like on that kind of behind-the-scenes, you know, look at what goes on when you're a writer. And so I think that gives you kind of an edge when you're talking to our guests. I'll say, you know, I can't even remember when Pat and how long it's been that I've known Pat Simmons. It's been many, many years. You know, the one thing that I love about especially romance writers, because – you know, it's almost like there's this sisterhood of women who write romance that are generous in nature. And both you and Pat definitely are in that category. You know, you hear, you know, and just to be honest, you hear a lot of things that, you know, women can be snarky, and, you know, you see people being snarky, and you know, there's that idea that, oh, you know, we're competitors, and I understand that there are people out there that work that to their benefit, but then you have people like yourself and like Pat who you're givers, you know, and you pay it forward, and you know, I love to think that karma comes around to people, you know, like ourselves, where, you know, you've got all that support kind of built in, because you become a product of your environment, and you create that environment by surrounding yourself with people who are talented and exciting and interesting and generous. And so I think this is going to be a fantastic show. You know, our guest is very, very multifaceted woman. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to find out at some point during the show how she does it all, because I don't know if she just doesn't sleep or there's a lot of Red Bull going on. I don't know. But I'm excited to have Pat Simmons with us tonight. You know, Pat's journalism background and passion as a self-proclaimed genealogy sleuth, which I think is so exciting and very interesting. You don't hear that a lot. Has provided the foundation for some very exciting characters and topics in her novels. She's an award-winning and best-selling Christian romance author. Pat has written over 10 novels, and her newest novel, No Easy Catch, takes readers into the world of Major League Baseball. And I promise our listeners that we're going to talk about No Easy Catch in just a moment. But first, let me welcome you. Thank you, Pat. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sheila. And a shout out to, hey, Lisa.
Hey, Pat.
I love it. You know, Pat, I want to talk about the book, No Easy Catch. I really like to start out with the book because a lot of our listeners, you know, sometimes this is their first introduction to you, and you know what it's like as a reader. You just want to know what that story's about. You know, you want
Absolutely.
To know, you know. But first, I do, you know, I'd like to give our audience a sense of who you are because, you know, Lisa and I will tell them how wonderful you are. You know, and what you've done in your life that's ignited your passion to write, that's what I would like to know. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is, you know, that makes you so passionate to write these novels.
Well, first of all, thank you for allowing me to come on your show. I appreciate that. And I am a avid romance reader. And I was in radio years ago before I went into television. I interviewed a lot of authors. And that's what jump-started me with the idea that I could write a book. Had no idea how hard it was, how long it would take, but I thought I can do it. I'm sure your listeners probably may think the same thing, and it's not as easy as it sounds. But I got tired of skipping over the sex scenes trying to find the romance.
Yes.
And I decided that, okay, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to write a book. And it was, oh, man, and even 10 books later, it is still a challenge because you have to dig deep, deep within yourself to make your characters real. And that's the most important thing of the story is to make your characters real.
Absolutely. And, you know, I find for myself, you know, you've always got that hook with what the story is, but what makes you kind of think about it after you've read that last page, you know, those books that really stick with you, are the characters. They
right.
really are. You've got those kind of books. You know, you finish the book, but you still kind of sit there, and it just kind of sticks with you a little bit, you know. But definitely, definitely the characters. Now, before we go too far, I would like to let our listeners know that I have the live chat session open, and you're welcome to comment or ask questions there, or you can call us, 646-200-4071, or the toll-free number, 877-497-5906. You can join us and chat with us and ask questions. After the live show, we do post the podcast and blog at readersentertainment.com. I know a lot of our listeners like to check out the author's website while we're talking, so I want to give that to you right at the top of the show here, www.patsimmons.net. So you can go over there and check that out. You know, I like to go ahead and start, you know, pretty early on just kind of talking about the book. So, Pat, let's go ahead and talk about No Easy Catch. Can you give us, you know, a synopsis of the story? Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. Actually, No Easy Catch, that was about the fourth title for the same book. When I wrote the book back in 1999, and surprisingly, it wasn't the first one published because it wasn't ready, I decided to name my book Delirious because my characters were deliriously in love. Of course, that didn't fly. So Lisa and I came up with the name because I always panic. Lisa, I need a name. I've totally revamped my story. And I need a name, and she suggested A Strike at Love, which I loved because my main character is a baseball player. Well, Whitaker changed it to No Easy Catch, and so the tagline is, if a good man is hard to find, then a great woman is no easy catch. And that's exactly what happens in my story. My character has had bad relationships with men within the church. Either they're devil decoys, you know, or, you know, they're not fully honest with her. And she's through. She is totally through with men in the church. She feels that there are none left. And one thing about my character, Ron Maxwell, the very first scene in the book was based on a story that I actually heard on the internet from a well-known sports figure. And he was a victim of an attempted carjacking. And when the gunman found out who he was, they let him go after, of course, they got his autograph. So, I mean, truth is stranger than fiction. Believe you me, I am not going to waste my time trying to make stuff up. It's too much good stuff out there. And so I decided, why not start my book with the same type of scenario, but in this instance, my character is ambushed in a carjacking, and he's like, Lord, if you get me out of this, you know how we try to bargain with God.
Right.
But God is good, and he says, he opens up the gunman's eyes to see who they got. And he's like, your car or your money, and you're Ron Maxwell. Hey, man, I saw your game, the Dodgers. And Ron is thinking, I got a gun to my head, and you want to talk baseball? But the Lord whispers to him, this is your plan of escape. And Ron's like, oh, yeah, man, I remember that game. So-and-so, so-and-so. Hey, y'all, get out the car. This is Ron Maxwell. And so then the gunmen start fighting about a play he did. Eventually they let him go. And he is just undone. He is driving home, you know, just driving past the speed limit. He doesn't care if he gets stopped by the cop because he just escaped death. The news media gets wind that this celebrity athlete has been spared as a carjacking victim because of who he was. They want the first interview. And that's where he meets my character, Shay Carmen. She just so happens to be in the newsroom, and she just so happens to listen to his interview, and she connects with the fact that he is humble. He's not boastful, saying, oh, well, you know, I had it under control. I knew I could talk my way out of it. He says, I prayed, and I was scared. And she kind of connects with that. And in passing after the interview, she just basically tells him, I'm glad you're alive. And Shay is such a pretty lady, and he looks at her, you make a man glad to be alive. And so she thanks him. She doesn't think any more about it because she's not looking for any men. But then he starts to send her thank you notes and things like at the station, flowers. She pitches the note. She pitches the flowers because in television, especially news anchors, they get so much fan mail. And you really don't want to take it personal, and she didn't. And there's an instance when they connect, and she says, well, you know, I get flowers and notes and marriage proposals, and I don't take that stuff seriously. And he says, next time it's from me, take it seriously. So that's just a little bit of No Easy Catch.
I love it. So the main character is a star, a St. Louis Cardinals outfielder.
Right.
And now it sounds like he's no stranger to scandal. Tell me a little bit more about him. I think that's very interesting that, you know, he has that moment, and like you said, instead of, you know, acting like the big shot, you know, he's sitting there, he's actually, you know, frightened, but he's keeping his head about him. Yeah, how did you pick for the main character? How did you pick his occupation, and why did you create him the way he is?
Well, I worked in television for 10 years. And so there's so many unbelievable stories that came along that I have in the book that truth is stranger than fiction. Like I said, I'm not going to waste my time and make stuff up. But because of who she was, he had to be someone that was bigger than her, larger than her. So, of course, the sports figure just worked because, you know, where you live, everyone knows who's on the news.
Right.
But it had to be someone that was larger than her, and the sports figure worked. And baseball just seemed like, okay, I know a little bit about baseball because St. Louis is a sports town, and because I have my number one informer, my son, who could tell me anything about baseball, and so I know a little bit more about baseball than I do about hockey or football or wrestling. And so It's a, you know, American pastime. I figure if what I did know, I could easily find out. So the living, the, you know, larger than the news anchor had to be someone like Ron Maxwell.
Right, right. And do you have a favorite character or a favorite scene that you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners?
You know, I'm always asked that question, and it's of course, for the author, it's so hard because, you know, you think this is your favorite scene until you come to the next one. But yes, well, I have about three or four, but the first one that the readers are going to come to is when they connect at a mutual friend's wedding. And she has a sweet tooth, you know. She gets that after me. You put cookies and cakes and cheesecake in front of me, forget the food. Just give me the knife. I'm all about the cake and the pie. So she has a sweet tooth. She has to get back to the station, and she's asking a coworker, can you bring me a piece of wedding cake? She loves wedding cake. If I remember. But Ron picks that up and says, I can bring you some cake. Well, she doesn't really know this guy. Oh, never mind. Don't bother. But he does bother. And after she finishes the newscast, when she comes back to the newsroom, there's a piece of cake.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And so that sets up the little tidbits of romantic moments to me. I think I also like, which I keep seeing the scene in my head, is and I don't want to give too much away, but it's romance, so you know I'm going to have a happy ending. So from that standpoint, his proposal, I like that scene. I like that scene. So that's just a little of it, but I just tried to keep it real. I just wanted to keep it real. I wanted to show people a Christian woman that when she is tested, she goes, she's going to be on one or two sides, and she decides she's going to be on the Lord's side.
Love that. Now, did you face any challenges while writing the story? And if so, how did you overcome them?
Absolutely. Just baseball, just trying to figure it out and, you know, trying to make sure that I had the right information. And I would text my son. He's like, Mama, just call me, Mama. Just call me. And when he wasn't available, I went to Facebook and I said, now, what's the difference between the AAA team and the A team? And so a fellow author, he just told me, just think about the Charlie Brown Peanuts team. And it was so funny, but it worked. And because I have a news background, I researched my characters. I researched the plot, and I didn't want to have any holes in the story. So that's always challenging is the research. That's always challenging is just having enough research where it's believable.
Now, I know that you have a new Carmen Sisters series at Whitaker coming out. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. With the success of my Jameson Men, and the women loved my Jameson Men, I introduced the Carmen Sisters. These are sisters that have each other's back, literally. That there is a scene in the book where they take a vote, you know, about what Shade should do. And I wanted to show sisterhood, no backbiting, no envy, just good, strong family ties, which I write in my books anyway, but I wanted to do it with the sisters. And regardless of their problems, I wanted to show the readers, well, you know you always got your family's back. Your sisters always have your back. So with Shay, she has had the bad relationships in church where she's just bummed. She's just bummed out, and her sister gets on the plane just to visit her, you know, just to check up on her. And they basically encourage her back to a mental health. You know, that was a bad relationship. It's okay. You know, it's over. It's done with. And sometimes, you know, when we go through things, especially as women, we need that sisterhood.
Yes.
If nothing else but just to vent or for someone that's going to keep it real. Like, Lisa and I will sometimes talk, and she'll call me, and she's, you know, describing a scene, and she can hardly tell me the scene because she's cracking up. And I'm like, Lisa, just get to the point. What's the scene? And then she tells me, I'm like, that's not funny.
It's not funny. And I'm like, yes, it is.
Right.
We're going back and forth, and she'll do the same thing. She'll send me something, or she'll call me. She goes, Lisa, listen to this. And she tells me, and she's cracking. I'm like, Pat, that's not funny.
Right. So, you know, you just have those sisterhoods that just bust your bubble. But then I know she has my back, and that's what I wanted to show the characters, where when they're reading the dialogue, that they could hear their sister friend or their sister or even their mother friend say the same thing to them. And so in each book in the series, my sisters are going through some dilemma. With Shay, it is the entire, there's no good men. We know there's no good men in the world. And if I come to the church and there's no good men, I'm in trouble. And so that's her attitude. She's in trouble. Book two, which comes out next spring, the title of that has changed a couple of times, so I don't know what Whitaker will decide on. Right now, it's A Love That Never Dies, but I'm sure they're going to change that title. But I call that book, that's Shari's story, and I call her My Dark and Lovely. Because as African-Americans, we face challenges. But for our dark and lovely sisters, the challenges are multiplied. And so what I mean by that is that I'm a fair-skinned African-American woman. The game is sometimes different for me than my darker sisters. And so I want to give my dark and lovely sisters a voice in the story, so that any person of color or person that is not of color can just kind of understand the issues that she faces. And then the last book in the series, which can't remember that name, that won't come out for another 2 years, is a woman that really, the baby sister that has it all together and just basically gets knocked off of her high horses, and she starts from scratch. And so in all of the stories that I have written and in the Carmen Sisters stories, I want to make sure that I have strong women that have the flaws, but one thing that is going to be dominant, one thing that is going to carry them, is their faith in God.
I love that. Now, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. We've got about 7 minutes left of the show, and I wanted to talk about a few other things so people see what a dynamic person that you are. You are also a publicist for the annual Archie Book Lovers Convention, which is ginormous. Tell us how this position has affected your writing career.
Well, Lisa could probably answer that, too, because not only did I drag Lisa into writing an anthology with me, I dragged Lisa into the RT Book Lovers Convention to work on the team, too. And it's a lot of writing. It's a lot of writing. But because I worked in television, it's easy for me to connect with the media as far as setting up radio interviews, TV, newspaper, you know, as yourself, you know, what it entails. And I think, if nothing else, it's just strengthened me as far as promoting myself, which I don't do when I work as a publicist for RT. I'm the publicist. I'm not the author until Saturday of the book signing and I sign. So as far as my writing career, I think it just helps me for my own promotions when, okay, I just booked Heather Graham this radio interview, and I knew the pitch that I needed for Heather. Okay, let me do the same thing for me because I know how valuable it is. But it's a lot of writing. It's a lot of work, but I have to get it done.
So with wearing so many hats, do you actually have to assign yourself writing time, like how, when you have so many things going on, and you know, I know that you know you're probably busy way before RT actually starts. Do you have like a certain way that you manage your time to make sure that you continue to write?
Yes, absolutely. And Lisa, I know she's chuckling in the background because she knows what I've already done today.
Sorry. I do.
Yes, she knows what I've already done today, but I'm very detail-oriented. I allocate a certain amount of time for everything. I got up this morning. I allocated an hour and a half to actually sand my floors and put the first coat of polyurethane.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and then I allocated an hour to be outside to plant my flowers. And then I came back in, and I had allocated another hour to sand it and put the second coat. So I was able to finish that about 20 minutes before the show began. And I can get things done just by staying on a program. I sew my clothes. So when I'm on a sewing binge, I'll put in one load of clothes, which is 45 minutes on the wash cycle, and I will sew for 45 minutes. I put those clothes in a dryer. I'm done for the day. So, yeah, I have a schedule. I'm on a schedule.
I'm telling you, we're kindred spirits. I'm convinced. I actually will set a timer. I make a list of the things I want to accomplish for the day, and I guesstimate how long it takes me, and then I set a timer. And it's almost like I challenge myself to be able to finish it within that time. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. You don't beat yourself up, but it just kind of encourages you. But I'm like that, too. I have to have a schedule. I have to assign myself things to get done. You know, and you're talking about, you know, how long it takes for the wash cycle. And so you're doing, I totally do that. I totally. Lisa, how do you fit your writing time in?
You know, I was just sitting here listening to the two of you, and I'm like, okay, you guys are way more conditioned than I am, because I am certainly, much to my husband's dismay, not a strategic, by-the-book, write-out-the-list, timer type of gal.
Mm-mm.
I'm a Gemini, so I flitter. I go from this to that to other, you know, oh, pretty lights, but, you know, I try to get it done.
Now, Pat, we have about 2 minutes, and we're going to try and fit a lot of things in that 2 minutes. I want to have people have kind of an idea of what's on the website, and I was told you have something, some kind of a contest going on, Major League Baseball tickets,
yes.
Is that right?
This is
big.
This is bigger than big. This is Major League Baseball. The only thing they have to do is either to go to my website or to go to the website that Whitaker set up, and no purchase is necessary, and they can register to win 2 Major League Baseball tickets of their team for any day, their choice. No purchase is necessary. And courtesy of Whitaker, shout out to my publisher. They didn't have to do it. I think the tickets are valued at $200, so we're talking about good seats. And they get to pick any team. It is not for playoffs or the World Series. But, I mean, just think if you've always wanted to go to perhaps like a St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, they could, you know, register. And if they win, the drawing's in June, they can say, hey, I want 2 tickets for this team. And it's there. So I'm encouraging as many people to either go to my website or to go to noeasycatch.whitakerhouse.com. That's directly. And just no purchase necessary. Sign up to win those tickets and, you know, just go for a home run on that.
I love it. Well, you know, it's Derek Jeter's last year, so I'm going to go try and win those tickets. That's all I'm saying.
Well, hey, it's no purchase is necessary. I am shooting for 100,000 people to go to that website and to sign up, you know. Yeah, tell their friends. I mean, Whitaker is doing this, and I really want to show them that I am getting the word out, you know, for people to win these baseball tickets.
Now, where else can people interact with you online?
Where can't they interact with me? That's really the question. You know, they can email me through my website. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I am on Goodreads, which, you know, I'm not on that as much as I need to be. I'm on LinkedIn. It's really hard to get rid of me. Once you come into my world, you cannot get rid of me. You can't get rid of me.
Pat, thank you so much for taking time out tonight and chatting with us and laughing with us and sharing with us. I really appreciate it.
It's been fun. It's been so much fun, Sheila. Thank you, Lisa. And I look forward to seeing you at the RT convention.
Oh, absolutely. Woo-hoo. And Lisa, thank you so much. You got us a fantastic guest, and we just had such a great time. And I look forward to doing this more with you in the future. So thank you for that.
Thank you, Sheila. It was great. Thanks, Pat.
Thank you, guys.
And we'd like to thank our listeners for joining us here at Readers Entertainment Radio. Don't forget that we will have a blog that will accompany the podcast on readersentertainment.com. I promise I'll get all those wonderful URLs so you can go and stalk Pat Simmons. And I'll make sure you get the URL for that the Major League Baseball tickets, because we want her to hit that 100,000. And we'll help get that word out. I'm Sheila English, your host, along with Lisa Watson. And happy reading, everybody.
Happy reading.
This show brought to you by Circle of Seven Productions, www.cosproductions.com. Please be sure to subscribe, and welcome to our circle.